Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the episode where we watched Emmanuel 4 on the worst idea of all time. Maybe this is like episode 7? I don't know. It took us a while to get this one nailed down.
It's important that it's confusing. We did not manage to watch all of these films sequentially. And I would like to give a huge shout out to someone who enabled this to happen, at least for me. Tim, I think you found a file elsewhere, but we shared a subtitle track thanks to the great Austin Lugar. So
thank you, Austin, and thank you to the great people at opensubtitles.org, a fantastic collection of people that are just doing God's work.
That's right. They really top and tailed that production with how you can use their subtitles and where you can find them. And
how to support them as well, to remove all ads and mentions of them.
I got to tell you, didn't they do a good job?
Mate, actually, do you know what? Let's flick them some... I'm going to support them. As soon as we stop recording, I'm going to go to opensubtitles.org. I'm pretty sure I've got the URL right. And actually, I'm doing it right now as I'm talking to you, Guy.
Bloody good. Well, I'll set up the context for Emmanuel 4. The most... I don't know if open-minded is the right turn of phrase, but certainly experimental of the Emmanuel films so far, including those that have come since the departure of the titular Emmanuel, a.k.a. Sylvia Christel. This is her last film as the co-lead in the franchise. It was quite good fun. I felt like the bottom fell out a little at the end. But this is a remarkably high-concept version of Emmanuel. It is sort of like an inverse Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, I thought. Essentially what happens is at the setup, Emmanuel is going to some sort of what looks like a sort of early 2000s music video by who's the band who sang Stacey's Mum? Fountains of Wayne?
Yeah, that's right. Can I just interrupt you for 1 second? Sorry to interrupt you on opensubtitles.org. The website looks like it's probably breaking my computer as I speak. And when I clicked on the link to the only place I can find to throw money at them, which is become a VIP member, remove the ads, it immediately takes you to a series of pop-up ads.
Yeah, so, that's great. Click through. Tim, this is a picker path. I love it when my computer offers me new opportunities to find websites I didn't even know existed.
Well, apparently I've just won a Samsung S9 thanks to Spark.
Courtesy
of New Zealand's number one telecommunications provider, so maybe I should pursue that.
Absolutely. The S9 is a very recent piece of technology, and that is definitely a legitimate prize.
Now, I'm so sorry. We're talking about the cool-ass music video-esque
that look and feel is somewhat unique, but it's still pretty... down the line Emmanuel so far, but then she runs into this former lover who it's expected we know called Mark, who in my research I found has not appeared in any of the previous Emmanuels.
Are you serious? Because I figured it would have to have been the guy from the first movie who like introduces her to almost the notion of sex itself.
Possibly in name, but not in actor portraying that name.
Yeah, but in the same way that we've got a new Emmanuel, which they do actually explain with the story, we've got a new Mark, which they do not explain with the story.
Yeah, anyway, she sees Mark and she's
It's like
sort of...
Fresh Prince, where they replaced Aunt Viv. It's a one of those. It Just is... don't mention it. Keep
I
going.
Well, I was trying not to. God damn it. Anyway, she sees this guy at a sort of naval-themed cocktail party. Perhaps they're genuine naval officers. Perhaps they're just people who like to dress as naval officers. And it sends her into a spiral. And she says, oh, whoa, even in all my adventures over the last years, I'm not ready to confront this lost love. You know, I carry the emotional burden of what happened between us. She still obviously holds a candle that burns bright and long for Mark. And so to try and remedy this overwhelming drive, like she's essentially out of control whenever she sees Mark, she gets on a plane and flies to Brazil, where she undergoes plastic surgery to render herself unidentifiable to Mark. So instead
it's quite experimental as well. It's important to know that this surgery is not your run-of-the-mill rhinoplasty boob job or something. This is she she gets warned that it's quite experimental and could have some psychological effects to it. And she says, play on, player, let's do this thing. And then flash forward, she is covered in a sort of milky membrane, which she emerges from.
It's
which
like,
I
have flat feet, and so I once got orthotics made up, and they put your feet in this sort of plaster cast. And that looked like essentially the technology they used to perform a full body and face plastic surgery on Emmanuel.
Yeah, it reminded me of The Matrix a lot. Like, lots of bits in this movie reminded me of The Matrix, because she kind of emerges out of this cocoon, and there's a couple of surgeons and nurses that are around, and they're like, stop, Emmanuel, you can't walk yet. Like, just go slow.
Yeah.
You've got to relearn how to use your entire body, because she has been reborn as a 20-year-old virgin now.
Also, the surgeon, who is like, for the last three movies, all we've heard about is how fucking red hot Emmanuel is. How everyone's like, oh my God, Emmanuel, she oozes sexuality, the most beautiful person on earth. And the surgeon performs the surgery, and then he looks at her and he goes, out of a simple woman, I have made a goddess. And I'm like, do your research, dude. This is the goddess. You've just, you know, I don't know, you've defied science, sure.
I'll give you that, crazy professor. You've defied science, but you were starting with a pretty hot lady.
So I just found, like, I'd like to talk about this with you, sort of the psychological impact. Of course, it's going to be a psychological impact on anyone who undergoes any significant plastic surgery, I imagine, as you sort of, you know, like, even if you're mentally prepared for it and you're undergoing this voluntarily, you're going to be looking at a different version of yourself. You're going to be, you know, living with this. But in this instance, where it's the full body escaping some sort of emotional baggage that she carries around with herself, is like, to keep your temporal memories, to keep your entire consciousness and totally change the physical vessel in which you carry those, is a really interesting idea. Like, I want to know, if you were to undergo that, what do you think the psychological impact would be? If you're like, if you do it to escape this podcast, say, if you and I, we have this on again, off again podcasting relationship, and you say, when I see him, I know I can't help myself. I want to get on those mics. I want to watch something terrible. The only escape I have, the only reprieve I have, is to totally change the vessel in which I carry my brain. And so you do it, and you come out of it as, you don't have to be a 20-year-old virgin. You can just be a different-looking person.
I want to be a 20-year-old virgin.
I want you to... Okay, yeah, great. You can be a 20-year-old virgin. An entirely different prospect. When you are moving around in this body and you're seeing people from your past, like, Emmanuel is not tethered to a family life. Beyond her romantic interests, we're never introduced to siblings, parents, cousins, aunties, uncles. Like... You know,
I want to meet Emmanuel's brother-in-law. What's that guy like?
She's got a brother-in-law?
Absolutely. Her younger sister's husband.
Mm.
He's a good guy. He's a baker. Gets up very early in the morning and makes bread every day.
If I was Emmanuel's brother-in-law, I would be on high alert, because this is a woman who is not afraid to fuck anyone.
Yeah, but
Except for Mark.
He's all good.
Is
That's
he?
The thing about the brother-in-law. Yeah, yeah, Jeremy. He's just like, I'm a baker and I'm happily married and, like, I'm good well, here. I don't need to fuck this woman who, as I told you in the notes, it's got to be said. All the evidence is laid out that this woman has got to be absolutely, you know, filled to the brim with sexually transmitted infections. There are no precautions being taken. She is seizing every opportunity to have sex with everyone as often as she can, wherever she is in the moment. And while I admire the sort of pursuit of sexual happiness, you gotta think about your body a little bit. You got to think about your body.
If you've got the option to just hit a hard reset every time things go awry and reborn as a 20-year-old virgin.
Does the plastic surgery remove chlamydia, say?
No.
Chlamydia is actually a pretty easy one to get rid of.
As I understand it,
HPV. Do these surgeons' talents extend to removing HPV?
No.
Because I think these movies might have come out either before the vaccine that we have now or before it was popularized. So we've got to put this in context. This surgeon has got to be a pretty stonking epidemiologist to be.
Dude, those are very different jobs, aren't they? To change the body, like the external nature of the body, is very different from rewiring or, you know, changing anything that's happening internally. But we've been waylaid here, Tim. I want to know how you feel. You're in your new body. You're a 20-year-old virgin. You live in fear of seeing me. If your overwhelming urge to podcast together, even though you know it's not in your best interest and you've been burned before, how do you feel when you see me? How do you feel when you see people who are in your life? How do you interact with them? Do you identify yourself?
I don't know, dude. This is a weird question. I don't know.
Okay, you and I podcasting together is maybe not the best analogous example, but I just want to know like what your life is like inside of your new body.
Well, Emmanuel, when she gets the surgery done, she questions like if she's going to have the same memories and stuff. So this is a pretty big overhaul of the hardware. I am going to seize the opportunity and start afresh, completely new.
Yeah.
I am going to move to Rarotonga in the Cook Islands and start a fish and chip shop, but not a chain because they don't do franchises there, just a fish and chip shop, and it's going to be fine.
And then one day you're working at your fish and chip shop and in strolls I don't want to sort of get our wires crossed with your genuine personal life. In strolls me, Guy Montgomery. I'm on holiday. I'm having a ball. You see me.
Yeah.
What is the reaction? Are you totally unfamiliar and you sort of go, I got to go out the back and let someone else deal with it? Or are you like,
I'm going to say deep fried or crumbed?
Crumbed.
We're good here.
And I'm looking at you like, I know this fucking guy. Because this is what Mark does. Mark, for reasons unknown, flies to Brazil and comes across Emmanuel reborn at a party. And he's staring at her like, this motherfucker.
Yeah, this is going to be tricky because I'm the only one who works in the fish and chip shop. Because as I mentioned, it's going fine. But it's not really going well enough that I can hire anyone else
there. This is insane. You are in charge of your own destiny here. You've got this page one rewrite, this beautiful 20-year-old virginal body, and you've chosen within your fantasy to start like operating a fish and chip shop that is just getting by.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in hard work and hustle. So I think it's important to stay grounded.
Work smart, not hard, is what people say.
I'm living in beautiful Rarotonga. What more could a man want?
I guess maybe someone in their employ, someone to help them build their business.
I like cooking my chips and my fish.
Okay. And so,
I see you.
Yeah, you take my order.
It's quite tricky. I'm going to have to do one of those sitcom sequences where I keep trying to like hide my face away from you using things that are just around. So
you
have to like duck down and obscure myself so you don't make the connection.
You don't
under like fish and chip wrapper.
It's not your face I recognize. It's your spirit. It's your essence.
I know. That's what I'm trying to hide away from you.
You can't hide an essence.
Yeah, but I'm trying my best to.
By physically hiding your face.
Yeah, absolutely. You've asked me a very, very specific question and gotten very angry at my response to it.
I'm not angry. I'm just trying to explore with you.
I've got a cool life here in Rarotonga. I've got my fish and chip shop. I'm at the beach multiple times a week. I've learned how to surf, maybe. I'm actually not sure how the surf is in Raro.
It's just, I guess I can't be ungrateful for you playing with the fantasy and answering the question, but I just...
Would you be devastated if I... Because presumably you would think that I had died.
Yeah, I guess I'd be like, wow, that's a shame.
I wonder what people think happened to... Okay, so we got to clear this up. This is the biggest question for me. What the fuck is going... Like, have they... There's a concept in, like, comic books and stuff called retconning, where you retroactively add something to the story and so, and it explains past events, right? So, like, they were calling her Emmanuel in the first three movies, right? I didn't make that up.
Yeah.
That was her name. But
she
in
is
this movie, but in this movie, they call her Sylvia, which is the first name of the actress who portrays Emmanuel.
The original one, yeah.
They keep calling her Sylvia, Sylvia, Sylvia. And then when she's the 20-year-old virgin, she is Emmanuel now.
Yeah.
So
it's
were you confused by that? Have I got that right? Do you, like, is that yeah, was that yeah. your read on it?
Yeah, that is to my eyes what happened, and I think it's sort of like a knowing acknowledgement to the audience, the sort of legion of franchise fans they've built up across the 3.5-4 movies, that they're saying, "Hey, look, we're handing over the reins here."
It's too big, though. It's too big. It's not like when you break the fourth wall, you're supposed to, like, give a little wink to the camera. You're not supposed to grab the camera operator and shake him by the shoulders and say, "Look, we're inside a facade. My name isn't Emmanuel, it's Sylvia."
Mm. It's, yeah, I've got this New York Times review from January 11th, 1985 in front of me.
I'd love to hear it.
Written by Vincent Canby, and I'm just sort of trying to scan ahead because I know that they make light reference of it. I haven't actually read the whole review. Emmanuel 4, which opens today at the East Side and UA Twin Theatres, is the third sequel to be spun off the 1974 exploitation hit Emmanuel, which starred Sylvia Christel. If the first sequel had been titled Daughter of Emmanuel instead of Emmanuel 2, the new film might well be called Great Granddaughter of Emmanuel, which sounds a bit geriatric, but wouldn't be entirely misleading. The producer of Emmanuel 4 tactfully acknowledged that the leggy, Dutch-born Miss Christel may well be reaching that certain age, officially 35, at which the woman stars of softcore exploitation films
35.
Should turn to other pursuits. Perhaps selling real estate, our friend fucking Vincent.
That's not in
helpfully
the movie,
offers.
Folks.
No.
Vincent's just throwing that in. That's just what he thinks is up.
Very early in Emmanuel 4, the still beautiful Miss Christel is a woman named Sylvia, is in a frightful bind. How can she escape the obsessive attentions of Mark when she knows that he'll pursue her to the ends of the earth, which in the case of Emmanuel 4 appears to mean Beverly Hills?
That's not right, though. That's not even the plot. The plot is that she can't help herself when she sees... He's not trying to find her. It's such a stupid plotline, because she keeps going about how, like, Mark's an arsehole, Mark's ruining her life, Mark's a baddie, and then for no reason in particular, she goes, like, to the ends of the earth to get away from him, and she changes her whole physicality. I'm sorry that I'm jump-cutting the plot here, guy, but that is what happens. And then she's just like, well, I've found love with this woman called Donna, and everything's going great. And her own version of a Rarotongan fish and chip shop life, on a beach with Donna, enjoying the simple
but
things.
Do you not? Do you
and then
not,
she's like, I better bail, I'm too happy, I gotta go back see Mark and fuck myself up.
Do you not see the challenges involved with running your fish and chip shop in Rarotonga? I mean, we've got an instance of it right here. Even if things are humming along and you are going to the beach several times a week, you are learning to surf, you are crumbing your fish to your heart's content, there'll still be an itch that must be scratched deep within you and your new 20-year-old virginal body.
I think I could let you go, guy. And I say that with love in my heart, but a fish and chip shop is all-consuming, and it's really important that I put all of myself into this business.
Very well.
Don't you think? Don't you think it's important to focus on the shop? Because, like, there's a lot of eateries in Rarotonga, and there's quite a few fish and chip shops. And to even keep my head above water, I'm going to have my eyes on the ball.
Why are you doing the fish and chip shop then?
It's my dream.
Why are you taking this to a place where there's a lot of, you know, this product already is already saturated in the market?
I don't necessarily want to be the best. in Rarotonga, but I want to be among the best fish and chip shops in Rarotonga.
It sounds like you've carved out so much work for yourself.
There's joy in that, you know?
Man.
It's important to have something to do every day. It's important to be part of a community and be contributing. And the way I'd like to contribute is to open a moderately successful fish and chip shop.
Yeah,
that can be considered among the better ones.
You've made it pretty clear, Tim. You've made that much obvious. Let us return to talking about the film at hand then, which has launched this sort of fantasy that we're exploring of yours.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I suppose as good a time as any to perform a little boner patrol. My dude, was there a stirring in your loins at any point?
No, there was not, like, physically, but I could see myself in a different context. Getting excited. The new Emmanuel, the all the women in these movies are very beautiful. The new Emmanuel is very beautiful. We see her naked quite a bit. There's a couple of pretty hot scenes with her.
Yeah, I thought, for a start, that is sort of, I'm going to be talking about this from two different perspectives. One is a cinema goer and one is someone watching a softcore pornography. But the cinema guy in me wanted to stay at the samba class. When she's sort of got her new body and she's up and running and she's in Rio de Janeiro, she goes to the samba class, and as you rightly pointed out in our communique during the film, it fucking rules. The music's great, the energy is electric, everyone's having a good time. It's sort of this free-flowing, quite open-minded sort of, hey, let's just see what happens here kind of environment. But I
don't think anyone's learning how to dance.
No, it didn't seem, but it didn't also feel like they needed to or perhaps wanted to. And she goes along, and maybe she's still reeling from the anesthetic or, you know, the experience of the surgery, but she leaves and she says, I had to get away from this noisy samba class. And she sort of walks into the, which I wanted, you know, wanted her to stay up for a while just to
absolutely be swept. We were having a good time there.
Yeah. I mean, also it's, you know, I don't want to date this podcast too heavily, but we are in the throes of a pandemic, which means that international travel's off the cards. And seeing a character sort of explore Brazil, a country to which I've never been, but have an overwhelming desire to one day visit, it makes you reminisce or crave the notion of travel. And so to see someone exploring these different parts of the culture, as, you know, cherry-picked as they might be, it looked great. Anyway, she leaves the samba class and she goes to this adjacent room, and the samba music's still playing, and there is this these two women have also sort of skived off of samba class, and one of them is performing rapturous cunnilingus upon the other one. And at this moment I sort of thought, okay, we might have something to bring to Boner Patrol for show and tell at class today. But then I couldn't help but notice that the hips of the recipient of the cunnilingus were sort of moving perfectly in time to the samba music. And I thought, this is really cool. I mean, this is some boss level shit. To groove along to samba while having your socks knocked off by a bit of cunny That's all time stuff. And then Emmanuel starts having a knee-knocking good time. And suddenly Boner Patrol wasn't Boner Patrol at all. It was just, you know, it was just...
just an appreciation for some people having a jolly good day.
Just, yeah, just like, fuck. I mean, you know, here's something...
Remember
go
travel,
home.
Everyone? Remember getting a plane ticket and going to a samba class where someone's going down on someone else and you're fingering yourself silly in the corner watching over?
I think we all remember the good old days of 2018.
Bloody COVID.
Get on a plane and walk into a warehouse and know exactly what was going to be in front of you.
Hey, can I share a shining light?
Of course.
It was by far the funniest bit of the film where Emmanuel, 20-year-old virgin Emmanuel, is walking around. Is it with Mark? Who's the man that she's with when they're in Brazil? It's like around the three-quarter mark of the film.
Rodrigo?
Yeah, that's right. That one's Rodrigo, yeah. And she's like, hey, we should have sex here. And he's like, we will get arrested. And she's like, oh, exciting. We'll do it at night. And he's like, we're not. And she's like, we should go for a night walk. He's like, that is a bad idea. This is dangerous. She's like, it's dangerous and exciting. And then as they're walking down the street, more and more dudes start following them. And they're all producing ever increasingly large knives to the point where heaps of people have visible flick blades. And one guy is wielding a machete immediately behind them, and Rodrigo has seen them, and he's like, hey, we need to get back to the hotel. She's like, no, I'm having far too good a time. This is cool. Don't be such a spoiled sport. We're having a great time. And they're about to get fucking executed on the street summarily at the hand of a sharpened blade. And it just cracked me up. It's very funny to if they were playing it for laughs, and they kind of were, I don't know, maybe. It was just so good to see someone so oblivious to the danger they were in. But it was in a softcore porno, so, you know, it wasn't like a full-throated belly laugh.
I think it was self-knowing. I think they're having a bit of fun there. If we are doing Shining Lights, I mean, that is a belter. Mine was the discovery and then reuse of the incredible sort of cut or edit point where they would sort of like a PowerPoint animation of the pages of a book turning, but two pages in the middle of the screen, and then all of a sudden the first time they used it, it's like you're in the movie, you're in the scene, it's somewhat high concept but you're keeping up, and then the page turns and all of a sudden we're back with Sylvia, the original Emmanuel, and she's in this white room with some unnamed, unknown young woman, and they're admiring five naked men's bodies in glass cages, and she's going, you choose who you want and I'm going to coach you through. And I mean, that's ancillary to the initial point, which is the page-turning device discovered and reused was an absolute delight. And the sort of the realms to which it opened in the movie, it wasn't like, well, this has to be tethered to what's happening. It's like, we'll just turn the page, and that's permission to do literally anything we want.
So a couple of things on that. Number one, this was the second big Matrix point for me, because I was like, oh, they're in the, what is it called, the Construct or something, that white room where Morpheus takes Neo and they get all the guns and shit.
Yeah, I can't remember. Training. But yeah.
Just like an expansive white space where things are sort of invented. It was totally that scene. And the cartoon book opening thing, which they used just all across this movie, and the edits are terrible. Did you know, did you come across in your travels guide that this movie was shown in 3D when it came out?
What?
Yeah, this movie was in 3D, but apparently the 3D was dog shit. And I've been trying to, like...
3D was still dog shit, like, 2 years ago. Of course it was dog shit in 1984.
So they were, I think they were using, like, some different flavors of it. I was trying to get in the weeds of what technology they were using, but I think it was the ones where you got to have like the red and blue glasses as a cinema watcher. And I came across only one review that mentioned it, that said it was dog shit. My words, not theirs, but they said it was subpar. But can you imagine going to a softcore porno with 3D glasses on? Like, what a moment in time that would be.
Well, if I think of the experience of going to this at the cinema and the sort of dastardly behaviors, you know, people who are enjoying the intended purposes of this sort of film at the cinema, the obscuring nature of having those glasses on and looking to your sides and everything's out of focus and impossible to discern, it's not something I'm against.
Yeah, there's a level of anonymity about having something on your face.
But yeah, I mean, so it's chaos.
It used the same technology as Jaws 3D. which came out in 1983. So it widely panned, as far as I know, the 3D. This is what is said of the Jaws 3D, because I can't find too much on the Emmanuel 3D. There was a revival in popularity of 3D at this time, with many films using the technique. Jaws' second sequel integrated the technology into its title to make use of the dual use of the number 3. The gimmick was also advertised in the tagline, "The third dimension is terror." Of course, it is depth. That is just a note from me, Tim. As it was Joe Alva's first film as a director, he thought 3D would, quote, give him an edge.
That is...
And the movie made money, but everyone hated it, so...
That is such a sort of entry-level mistake to be like, I'm doing this huge, overwhelming job for the first time. How will I give myself an edge? By introducing another, even more challenging component.
It's like moving to Rarotonga, a place known for having like a number of pretty good fish and chip shops.
I don't know that that's one of the headline things about Rarotonga.
And then trying to start your own top tier fish and chip joint solo. It would be that level of difficulty.
Yeah,
The script is all over the map in this movie. Within 90 seconds, we get a reference to a woman's vagina as both private and then the C word, which I won't say because I know we have a lot of American listeners and you might be listening with your tiny children in the car, which is where I like to listen to podcasts about softcore pornographies.
It's, I just wanted to say, if we are doing script, I wrote down a line I really liked, which was, "Love is an eagle with claws clutched around our hearts. Once it has got a good hold, it will never let go." That belongs anywhere. That belongs in the Smithsonian for mine.
It's pretty good. Well, my full quote is, "I'm going to ask you a question that a woman never asks a man."
I wrote that one down too.
"Do you prefer to make love with the lights on or off?" He responds, "Probably off." "Really? So you can't even see the woman you love? Her body, her breasts, her privates?"
I think it's beautiful and quite demure and very sexy to call any bodily parts that are beneath clothes private. I won't even make mention of a belly button in the winter, because it is a private part.
It is a private
to be withheld from public.
Bits of the soundtrack absolutely slapped. Other bits ate dog turds. There was like a kind of Rod Stewart-esque soft rock theme song that kept coming back, which was in English, which makes me hopeful that it wasn't in the original release and they just added it in for those idiot Americans so they'd have something to grab onto while trying to furiously masturbate to a movie which refused to engage with sex scenes. Because so many times when we got one, they'd have a lot of setup, whole lot of setup. We're learning the characters. We're getting some good dialogue going. And then just as we're about to get into a pretty rough and ready situation, blam, we've got a cartoon book animation taking us to a different point in time.
And all of the most sort of, you know, large-scale sex scenes in this film were all, like, not really pertaining to Emmanuel. It was like, you know, usually it was just off to the side. It's like Emmanuel's looking out of it. She's on a veranda and she's looking out in the driving rain at this bit of jungle. And there's this unknown woman in a see-through romper standing on a swing, moving back and forth. And then all of a sudden some other person who we don't know appears and drives her off the swing into the mud. And they start rolling around in the mud. And I'm like, I'm happy for everyone involved, but I don't really know what connection this has to the story we're following.
It's all over the shop.
Like later on, there's a scene where Emmanuel's kind of loosely involved. She chases someone off of a boat through a river and then they go and have sex somewhere in the jungle. Then all of a sudden, there's this shot of like an anaconda.
Mm.
And then there's another woman. And there's another guy. And there's a shot of an anaconda, like a snake climbing over someone's body across their private, the most traditional definition of private parts. And I found that quite, you know, snake on the ground, ready to pound. Snake on the pussy, absolutely not. Big no-no for me.
What would you rate this movie out of a potential 9 private parts or 17 fish and chip shops?
14 fish and chip shops?
14 out of 17?
Yeah, like, I mean, I do think it sort of it tapered off at the end. Like, they had too many sort of high concept balls in the air to like, because that's not the purpose of this movie, to maintain.
Two directors, by the way.
That makes sense. I think working simultaneously but not talking to each other is the impression I got. One of them was making a sci-fi sort of, you know, body-changing movie, and the other one was trying to make a softcore porno, and they had access to the same parts. Sometimes they both had to get
there's a guy in your window, guy, looking directly at me.
Yeah, don't worry about him.
It's freaking me out.
He's the hired help. He's my gag writer. He's just making sure I'm sticking the landings on all these great bits.
Good stuff.
Yeah, but I thought it was fun. Like, I'm glad to have seen it. I sort of wonder, if I try and think about the trajectory or the build of these movies across the franchise, so this, you know, we have watched these slightly out of order, if this would change anything from what I've seen since. But I don't necessarily know that it would. What did you think?
I'm with you on that. I don't think there's any utility in watching these sequentially. And in some ways, we did it a more fun way because you can kind of like, it's like when you don't see the monster in a movie, you know, you can kind of let your imagination fill in the best possible version of what would be scary to you.
Aye.
So having seen this fourth movie now, this did not fill in any blanks for what's going on in the series. I felt really bad for Sylvia, the actress, and just kind of the like messaging of what's happening in this movie to her and her career. She's been cast aside. I have it on good authority. We get to revisit her in Emmanuel 7, something I'm looking forward to. She rejoins the series for a oncer. But yeah, pretty dog shit that at age 35, you're thrown in the bin for a 20-year-old virgin.
I mean, you alerted me previously to the fact that she had a somewhat tumultuous life off camera. I think small part contributed to by, you know.
Let's close off on this because it's worth. I don't know if we've done this yet, but
before you close off, but before you do, I just want to give you a piece of trivia that you specifically, I think, might be interested in.
Oh yeah,
The guy who plays Mark, Patrick Bichau. Did you recognize him at all?
He did look familiar, but I figured it was from another one of these movies.
He's not been in Emmanuel before or since. A Belgian actor best known for his role as Scarpine in the 1985 James Bond movie A View to Kill, which was the last Roger
Moore.
That's
a Timothy. What? View to Kill. Oh, sorry, it is too. That's the one with, what's her name? The pop star who was going to play in New Zealand. Grace Jones, who did play in New Zealand, same day as my wedding.
Yes.
And I can't remember what was her name. What was her name?
Oh, he's not actually. He was not the lead though. The lead villain in that was Christopher Walken as Max Zorin.
Who played who?
Max Zorin, a psychopathic industrialist.
It's weird that these names aren't ringing bells. I haven't seen.
Anyway, I just thought, I know you're a Bond guy. I thought you might get a kick out of that.
Yeah, man, big time. And that is definitely where that's from. I'm trying to find, there's a list of movies that someone sent me, and I think I read it on the wiki, but I can't see it here, that Sylvia Kristel like said no to. Oh no, okay, unsuccessfully applied for the role of the Bond girl in the movies The Spy Who Loved Me, Moonraker. That hurts even more, you know, knowing that. She went for Spy Who Loved Me, Moonraker, For Your Eyes Only, and Octopussy. She rejected the main female roles in The Story of Adele H, King Kong, and Logan's Run, and Caligula, Body Heat, Blade Runner, Scarface, June.
She said
Body
no Double, to all of this?
Apparently, yeah, and Blue Velvet as well. God damn.
Life can be tough.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with the decisions you make. What is the takeaway? I don't know.
I think it is, you know,
wear a condom. Do you know what the takeaway is? Use protection.
I was going to say the takeaway is you gotta crumb your fish when the ingredients are there.
That's great. I love that. I'd quite like to get some merch made up of Timbo's fish and chips. So we'll see if I get onto that design and
the
get that in the merch
best
store.
Fish and chip shop in Rarotonga.
No, it's up there, dude. It's like fourth. It's like fourth or third.
Nah.
Okay, we'll catch you in the next episode of The Worst Idea of All Time, Season 5.
Oh, come, Emmanuel.
Yeah, number, what are we up to now? Seven?
Seven.
Cool.
Seventh Bye. Heaven, baby. Oh, is that for me or the listener?
You can keep going if you want. I've left.
Well, now that Tim's gone, I just want to say thanks a lot for listening along, guys. Really appreciate it. It's actually hard because Tim can still hear me, even though it's just me on the record. Yeah, I hope you guys are enjoying the season so far. We're having a really good time, having a lot of fun, having a lot of laughs, actually. Yep. I've got nothing to say. I don't know why I keep going. Catch you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.